It's Easter holidays. The runtime on Lion King is 1 hour, 28 minutes. So I've got that to record, edit, and publish this podcast before my kids burst through the door. So let's do this. Here we go.
Right. Let's do this.
Hello and welcome to a different corner. Hope you're well. This is a fantasy football chat, fantasy football therapy, fantasy football analysis, maybe. And my game week could be summed up with a Mason Mount knee-side celebration after a 96th-minute winning goal. Or was it winning? Because that's how premature my FPL celebrations were. Because the Ivan Toney bringing down the ball from height with such a delicate touch, shifting the ball past the defender only to square it into an open goal, was my friend Dr. Lumen Ali. Lumen, how are you?
Relieved. It wasn't looking good Saturday. And then Sunday I had some guys do things for me. So, you know what? I'm hanging on by the skin of my teeth at the moment. Oh, I've got people right on my tail and I'm just about surviving. I think it reminds me of this Kanye West lyric in Power. You know, how ye doing? I'm surviving.
You're not surviving. I'm not sure what has been a bigger battering this season. Your FPL team over mine or Brentford having 29 shots on United's goal on Saturday. I'm not sure which has been a bit bigger battering.
I think that Brentford game was immensely frustrating to watch for me. I was saying to friends of mine who are United fans how annoyed I am that you've got a team here who are so bad, but they somehow the opposition doesn't score against them. They live this charmed life. And that's why I'm dreading this Sunday, which we'll talk about. But they just, you know, the same thing happened in the FA Cup game where, you know, we battered them, but we didn't take our chances and they won. So I'm dreading Sunday. But we'll get to that in a bit.
We'll get to that. Either way, the lesson is I shouldn't be celebrating a game week on a Saturday night, even though I was, what, some 30 points ahead of you on Saturday night. And United shouldn't be celebrating what they thought was a 96th minute. It's just not that season, guys. It's not that team. It's not that manager, dare I say. I'm not sure. But go on, what were you going to say?
Do you know what's happened a lot this season, just by complete fluke? There's been a lot of game weeks where I've had players playing right at the end. Like, just freak. It's just the way it's happened. And I've had to rely on them to get me points.
You've had that with Son quite a lot.
Yeah. And I had that with Salah this week, but it's relief.
Well, let's get to our points then, because I ended, I think, Saturday night on like 61 or something like that. And I was taking that. I had good points returns pretty much apart from my defence. And my goalkeeper, I had Martinez at Aston Villa, got me 10 points. Finally, a clean sheet and then some bonus points to boot. Cole Palmer, who we'll talk about shortly. Anthony Gordon, apparently 3 assists. I don't know how he managed to get 3 assists there, but then a red card also. Son was my captain. I captained Son. I know it was a Son or Salah situation. I went with Son. He was better off by, what, 3 points maybe. Those bonuses, possibly, I'm not sure. And then I had Sakho, did nothing. Solanke got me a goal, and then nothing up front other than that. I had, though, Lumen, check this out. 10, 15, 21 points on my bench. Jared Bowen, Adam Smith, Bournemouth defender, who got an assist. And then I had Jacob Kiwior at Arsenal, who got a clean sheet, of course. Oh, 21 points on the bench, but I ended on 69. The average was 47. I'll take that, although a little bit regretful for my bench score. How about you?
Interesting. 69 points, but with 21 points to go on the bench. It was still a so solid effort from you.
Thank you very much.
If you know, you know. So, 61 points from me. Areola 2, Branthwaite 1. Gusto, who I got in, I thought they'd do well against Burnley. They didn't. They got 1. Gabriel got me 6 points, clean sheet. Mo Salah 14, he as a, my captain. Cole Palmer 15, Saka 3, Son 10, Haaland 2, Muniz, and then Watkins 1 point. So, yeah, I mean, the difference between our teams was Salah. Salah was the one at Arsenal clean sheet. I had Bowen on my bench with 10 points as well. So
yeah, 61 points at your end. Again, you had Bowen on the bench, so not great. And you salvaged it because it wasn't looking good for you come Saturday. But Mo, you can always rely on Mo. Before we kind of get into the points anywhere else, what were your thoughts on the title race? Because there was development this weekend. Obviously, Arsenal played City. Points shared. The best outcome for Liverpool. You obviously had to come from a goal behind as well. Where do you see it now? All the pundits are saying it's advantage Liverpool.
Nah, there's too long left to go. I think, Europe will play a big factor. You know, injuries will play a big factor. I don't know. Man City have been my favourites all along. But if I was, at the table in Vegas, I'd be all in on Arsenal at the moment.
Wow, why?
They've got a steel about them. You can't score past them for any set pieces, for example. You know, absolutely rock solid at the back. I mean, their top defender, the top three FPL defenders are all Arsenal defenders. And then, before this Man City game, they went on the rampage with goals, right? And I've already had my rant about that and Arsenal fans and talking about strikers when you don't really need one. It was just about your midfielders picking up slack, which they did. I've got a feeling that Arsenal I can see them winning every single game till the end of the season and scoring an average of 3-4 goals every game.
But what makes you think that after this weekend when the consensus seemed to be excellent defensive display, but maybe you could have done more going forward. And, we got dominated possession wise. There was a point in the game where we had maybe the better opportunities, but, there was very, very cagey, very, very tense game and we didn't really open up to even score. It's not like a Liverpool Man City where Liverpool historically have just gone at them and then just, come away with wins sometimes. So what makes you think that an Arsenal, I think going backwards, yes, but going forwards, I'm not as confident. You average of 3 goals. That's, I'm not sure about that.
They will tear it up. I mean, you cannot ignore those goals that they scored in all those games, right? I think they were pragmatic because, they realized that they could not afford to lose and give Man City the momentum. I think Liverpool, it's what I've been saying all season. We keep going behind every game and it's unsustainable.
Now, here's the thing, though, Lumen. I was looking at the results for each of the three teams and Arsenal had a 2-game blip, I would call it, where we lost to West Ham and Fulham. We've lost to Villa before earlier in the season as well, or later in the season, but we had that 2-game blip. Man City have had a 2-game blip. I think we beat them and I want to say Wolves, but I'm not sure. Someone. But basically, they lost 2 in a row. Liverpool have only lost 2 games this season. You keep saying about how they can't just keep coming back from behind. They have been impeccable this season. Impeccable.
We've had this chat before. Too many draws. Too many draws. Too many draws.
Well, you're still 2 points clear. You're still 2 points ahead.
I'm not going to complain. I just think it's a case of one game at a time. And I am dreading, absolutely dreading, the Europa League as well restarting.
Yeah, well, fair enough. And you want to scrap that in anyway. You want to ditch that and just go all in, don't you? What, 9-10 cup finals left? That's what the way you're treating it.
Yeah, exactly. But who's your money on for the title?
I've always been saying Man City all along. I mean, which team of the three can you realistically see going winning every game? And for me, that is still Man City. I can still see them going winning every game. I don't know if both Arsenal and Liverpool can win every game, and that they're the one team that I think can do it.
Before this draw, Arsenal had 2-4-8 wins on the bounce. How can you not? I mean, and, you know, 5-0 Palace, 2-1 Forest, 3 against Liverpool, 6 against West Ham, 5 against Burnley, 4 against Newcastle, 6 against Sheffield United. Come on. How can you not be confident in your team? If I was an Arsenal fan, I'd have my chest out and say, you know what, we're winning this thing.
No, I don't. The problem is they've all those teams that you just mentioned who have been battering in recent weeks before Man City. I mean, we struggled against Brentford, but before that, we were on a tear. It's the problem is the next fixtures. I think we've got obviously Spurs to play away. We've got Man U to play away. Brighton away isn't an easy game. We've got Villa at home, and who obviously beat us. So we've got really tricky, tricky fixtures. Who knows which Man U will turn up? Who knows which Spurs will turn up? You know. Yeah, I'd happily be proven wrong. So let's see. There's obviously games to go, and I didn't realize the next game week is tonight, starts on Tuesday. I didn't realize it completely passed me by. So I've been frantically looking at my team, but one player, Lumen, who I think every team has to have in, surely, who I'm describing as the most valuable in terms of price-wise, surely the best value you're getting from a player this season has got to be Chelsea's Cole Palmer. I mean, 15 points this game week. I thought he got very lucky to be awarded that penalty. I don't know if you've seen the highlights, but Chelsea's first penalty was really soft, but he puts it away. Burnley unlucky in that regard. But, you know, scraped a 2-2 away from home. Burnley now, 3 games without a loss. Maybe they're doing something. But Cole Palmer, I've got to talk about Cole Palmer. 15 points this game week. I've got some stats here, Lumen. Let me get my Cole Palmer stats. He has got 8 double-digit scoring weeks. 8 double-digit scoring weeks. That is the same as Mo Salah and Son. Saka, in context, has 6. Bowen has just 3. We also think, Salah has been away for so long, you know, injuries and stuff. But Palmer, the last time I checked, had only played 20 minutes more than Mo. So his points to game ratio is basically up there, or points to minutes ratio is up there with Mo Salah. And I just think, gosh, how can you not have him in your team? Cole Palmer, are we also going to see the biggest price rise from, what is he now, 5.8 to next season? What can he reasonably be priced at next season, Lumen? Talk to me about Cole Palmer. Oh,
I think he'll go up to 9-10 million easily. But Cole, I'll tell you what. We were talking a few weeks ago about goal celebrations. He has got a fantastic goal celebration.
The sort of shiver, isn't it? Arms wrapped around the shiver.
it's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. He's been a shining light for them. I mean, the amount of goals he scored has been fantastic. I think once again, I've had him for a while, but I think I jumped on him. I missed out on some Cole Palmer points, but I've got him now, so I'm happy and he's delivered. I should have been brave, and captained him, but I think that's what's killing me this year. We've discussed it before where I'm just not getting my captain right. I just can't, for whatever reason, I cannot get my captain right. And I'm surprised he hasn't risen even more up in value. Talking about values, do you ever check? The value of your team?
I very rarely do. I mean, where would you even go? Here we go. Squad value. Mine. I've got found it here on the right hand side column. Squad value: 101 million, and I've got 1.8 in the bank. That's not particularly good, I don't think, is it? Let's see what yours is. Well, I mean, you.
Yeah, that is good. That is good. That's 102.8. That's good.
Okay. What's yours at then?
Well, mine is freakish. I've had a freakish. Mine's at 105, and I've got 1 million in the bank.
Holy moly! So what? How do you use that as an indicator? Like, what do you use? What do you glean from that?
What I glean from that is I've got money to play with. I've got more flexibility to do things. Of course, you know, it's a false economy. You know, when you sell a player, you don't get all the value back. But still, you know, I've been lucky because I've had the players in and their values have gone up and up and up, whereas other people have just dropped them. So, yeah, I've got room for manoeuvre, which we'll be talking about later on in terms of our team for the week ahead. But Cole Palmer did it just in the same way that Anthony Gordon did it for Newcastle. That was a crazy game for starters. What a crazy game.
It was a crazy game. I didn't watch. I've only seen the highlights. But he managed to clock in 3 assists. And he has got the what I call the Jamie Vardy style or dark arts of winning penalties, where he basically is so fast, like Jamie Vardy was, and he's not really near the ball. He just puts his leg kind of in front of where the player is about to kick it. And he then gets kicked because the player can't pull out fast enough. And he basically won his penalties like that. They were a bit soft. He basically just got in the way. But I can't complain. I've got Anthony Gordon in. He somehow got 3 assists, but then a red card. So missed out on the bonus points that he would have probably collected also. And he's like, yeah, he's done well consistently for me. 6 million. So again, similar price bracket to Cole Palmer. He's never going to be like a Cole Palmer getting as many double digit hauls, but he did well for me. And he has, to be fair to him, done well for me consistently in a very odd Newcastle team. And I just don't know what Newcastle are this season. Looking at their results, there's wins, losses, draws. There's no consistency, it seems. Last season, there were incredible defensiveness. And then you could get an Isak or a Wilson. This season, Wilson's just been missing for the whole season. Isak, when he plays, seems to score recently. And defensively, they've just been awful, just terrible. Nope, just can't get any clean sheets from Newcastle. So I just don't know what Newcastle are.
Do you think Isak is an option? Because I know someone who did their wild card. They're ahead of me in my league. They're doing really well. Before Isak's injury, he scored 3 games on the bounce. He comes back from injury and he scored the last 3 games as well. I mean, Isak, I remember I got him in last year and then he got dropped for Wilson. But if before I get Isak in, I'm going to take a trip up to Newcastle to see what Callum Wilson's up to, because I cannot afford to hit him to be, you know, if he's even on the training ground, right, he's in my fantasy team.
Callum, well, I've not heard from Callum Wilson for so, like, when was the last time he even played a game? I don't know. So I think you're pretty confidently could go with Isak now, I would have thought. To be honest with you, before this chat, I was kind of mock doing our team. Watkins for Isak is the most, I imagine it'll be the most popular move, surely, if you've already sorted out Salah in your squad, for example. Isak for Wilson is for Watkins, sorry, is the most obvious one to do. Wilson still has a red tendon injury, expected back 11th of May, and he's not played since game week 24. And we're now at 31. So, yeah, I can't see him coming back anytime soon. And Isak was looking good, and his points 15, 6, 8 in the last three. Very good, very good returns. I could see that being a popular move. Very popular move.
Yeah, it is going to be, because Watkins, he's had a few quiet games now. He's blanked in the last three games, and he came off with an injury. He's playing Man City next and all the Europa Conference games. I mean, the problem for me is Watkins has been gold. I mean, he's 16 goals and 15 assists, top scorer in fantasy. It's not like, for me, this is maybe where my weakness, where I am too loyal and I don't move off players when I should.
And he is, I mean, he's by far, he's 30 points over Haaland. It's not, you know, Watkins has had a tremendous season. To be getting rid of him will be hard. How much would you have to pay to get him back in? 8.9 he's at to be able to get him back in. But he's got tough fixtures, you said. Man City, Brentford, Arsenal. They're the next three he's got. So, yeah, maybe it is time to get him out. I'm confused as to Newcastle as a whole. Isak seems to be the one that you could get in, but I've got suspicions over whether Eddie Howe is the new Jose Mourinho, is the master of dark arts, because I don't know if you saw this, Lumen. Anthony Gordon got a red card. Do you know what he got a red card for?
Time wasting or kicking the ball away?
Kicking the ball away. And it wasn't even a massive boot down the field like you'd be happy to get a yellow card for it. He knew he was on a yellow card. It was just like a pass away from where it should have been. And he got a red card. And then I found out this guy is on 9 yellows. If he gets one more yellow and totals 10, he gets a 2-game ban. He took a very cheap yellow card to get 2 red cards and now has just a 1-game ban. And I'm thinking, that is very Jose. That is, I've seen Mourinho do that for Real Madrid, right? When he whispered over to Xabi Alonso, Sergio Ramos to get themselves sent off so he'd be free. I don't know whether choir boy looks Eddie Howe.
Eddie Howe, apart from that, I mean, we suffered against Newcastle. They are the masters of time wasting.
Oh, fuck.
I mean, they take the... Newcastle, I do not feel an ounce of sympathy for all their troubles. You know, they've wasted time. Now they're suffering from what goes around comes around. And long may they suffer for, you know, their shenanigans. It's a great week to look ahead, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And let's look at, I'm looking at your team and I'm wondering, right, what are the priorities here? Because we've got Gordon and Areola unavailable and we've got injuries, potential injuries to Gusto and Watkins. And on top of that, the cherry on the cake is you're done with Jared Bowen.
I was supposedly, the whole last episode was, I think I'm done with Jared Bowen. And then he goes and gets 10 points and he was sitting on my bench. Absolute dreadful, dreadful FPL call there. And also, on top of all of that, Lumen, what you failed to mention is I have no Mo Salah. And that is the key one to have in your squad this game week. Sheffield United at home. How can I not have him in? But I've got, obviously, issues everywhere on my bench. So, actually, as a first 11, I'm pretty happy with it. But I can't not go into it without Mo Salah. So, I've been doing a very strange thing. How do you feel about this, Lumen? Not doing a -4. Using my wild card, but only making like 3 changes, possibly 4. Is that just a waste of a wild card?
Not necessarily. Don't forget, like, you might have a team that doesn't require much surgery to it. So Yeah, but be warned. Be warned. As I've said, I've not been great with captains, and there's a very real possibility of rotation.
Do you think Mo's going to get rested? Seriously, Mo's not going to get rested.
I would not be surprised if there were quite a few players rested because of the magnitude of the game at the weekend.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, just looking towards tonight and tomorrow, so Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday fixtures then. So we've mentioned Liverpool, Sheffield United. The obvious one is Salah, but you're saying there may be rotation there. But all three title-chasing teams are playing at home. Arsenal at home to Luton. A Saka captaincy, potentially. Currently, as I look at my team, I've got the C on Saka right now. It's a bit of an odd one, but if you're looking for a differential, that might be the one. We mentioned him earlier, but Cole Palmer at home to United, it obviously depends on which United turn up, but that's not a bad captaincy shout if you're looking for a differential. Son is away at West Ham. Haaland, we're not even talking about Haaland as captain right now. Actually, we should answer the question: is Haaland a flat track bully?
You tell me.
We were going to judge him on the game against Arsenal. He was quiet, and he was quietened by an excellent defensive showing. And the one time the ball squirted out to him, he fluffed his lines, didn't he? Roy Keane called him a League Two player in his overall play, general play, but his finishing, he's world class, probably the best in the world. He didn't show it then, but is Erling Haaland a flat track bully now, Luma?
I've always held that, you know, even against Liverpool, he just does not seem like the guy. There's players out there who just, when it's game time, they just show up, right? There's one player in particular from the past. I was talking to a Chelsea fan about them. And I said, there were more prolific strikers out there, right? But when it came to game time, when it came to the big games, you remember this guy in the biggest games against the toughest opponents showing up, right? And does he score as many goals as Erling Haaland? No. But does he do it when you need him to do it more often than Erling Haaland? Yes. So I'm going to ask you a question now. I'm going to give you an option: Erling Haaland or the striker that I'm talking about. And I'm curious to know your answer.
Surely it's Didier Drogba you're talking about.
It is Didier Drogba, yes. How did you know?
Because he did it against us so many times. Didier Drogba, well, you cannot look back at the legacy of Didier Drogba and just look at what he won, how he showed up in the big moments, almost season in, season out for under the whole Mourinho era, right? You can't do that. And Erling Haaland, but then Erling Haaland has won the treble already. So, I mean, what can you do?
Yeah, but when we're talking about impact, Didier Drogba, when he wasn't scoring goals, he was terrorizing opposition defenders, making space for Lampard's runs. You know, the guy was game time. He was game time, and that's what I expect to see from Haaland. Not necessarily the goals, but just make that impact. You know,
interesting. I wonder if Drogba, would have done more with his ability. That's what you want from Haaland, basically. You want more from... You're not saying he's a bad player. You're saying he's an excellent, he's a superb, world-class player, but you just want him to do more with what he's got. Is that fair?
Exactly. And this weekend, we saw an absolute masterclass of a performance from one player in particular. So, and it got me thinking just how there's certain players who are born with a footballing brain. And I'm talking about Alexis McAllister for Liverpool. I watched that entire game and he was it's amazing when you stand out as the best player on a pitch, and he was, and all of it was in his head. It was the decision making. And Haaland, you just feel that that intelligence needs to be developed.
Interesting. Well, he's still young as well, of course. You're still young, but you're right.
He is. You know, to borrow a phrase from, you know, Graham Souness, he needs to be a bit more cuter, you know, just with his movement. One player, if Haaland wants to learn, he needs to study the likes of Karim Benzema. I mean, Benzema's movements were crazy. You know, he just everywhere, and just being in the right place at the right time. But yeah, he's got a long way to go as Haaland. He's far from the finished article.
Yeah. Luckily, time is on his side.
But if we're talking about the week ahead, and my team, I'm in a real dilemma here because I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago about the one area of my team needing surgery is the defense. And I got Gusto in and I was happy with that. But now he's a question mark. So I need to get either another defender in or I need to replace Jared Bowen. And the Liverpool and Arsenal fixtures stand out. The difference, I was thinking about Joe Gomez, but then I was thinking Liverpool keep conceding. And now it's a case of I look at Arsenal and do I get another Arsenal defender in and roll the dice and say, you know what, I'm going to have two Arsenal defenders in, or do I put in Kai Havertz?
So I'm a bit confused, Lumen. I'm a bit confused, if I could stop you there, because just last week you were saying you need just the cheapest, obviously, ideally point scoring 90 minutes defenders. And then you've this week gone with Gabriel at 5.3. You're talking about Saliba, who must surely, where's Saliba? Saliba is at 5.8.
No, I won't be able to afford him.
Okay, fine.
I won't be able to afford him. No, there's no confusion. It's just a one-off.
Oh,
it's their home to get Luton.
Oh, I see.
That's it. So it's just the fixture. But I think I'm going to go with Havertz.
Kai Havertz, yeah.
Bowen is probably going to score a hat-trick against Spurs. If Arsenal don't score 5 or 6 goals against Luton, I'll be very surprised.
I don't know. Well, yeah. Well, let's see. We'll find out. We'll find out today. We'll find out this game week, these midweek fixtures. And then let's also look ahead. Let's quickly peek over Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday to Saturday and Sunday. The big one is Man U Liverpool. We said we were going to talk about it. I wasn't planning on necessarily, but Man U Liverpool, how are you feeling about that?
Petrified. I'm absolutely petrified. Let's look at this with cold, hard analysis. Everyone talks about the 7-0 last season. That was a freak result. Early on last season, we lost against United at Old Trafford. This season, we've drawn at Anfield and we've lost in the FA Cup to United. So in all competitions, Ten Hag's record versus Liverpool is 1-2, drawn 1 and lost 1. And that is with one of the worst United teams in recent memory. So how can I not be petrified?
Yeah. Oh dear. Well, that's all to look forward to. We've got obviously the midweek fixtures. A massive one. It should be high points scoring totals here. We should be looking at that because away from Arsenal, Man City, Liverpool, we have got Newcastle at home to Everton. Obviously, we'll talk about which Newcastle turns up, but they're at home. Who else we got? Chelsea, Man U is a tasty one. That would be a dud off because the last game they played, they were both so bad. So that'll be interesting. Forest at home to Fulham, with your man Munoz in there. So there's, I think, lots of... Bournemouth at home to Crystal Palace is the one I'm looking forward to because I don't think Palace are completely out of it. And Bournemouth at home, who knows? So lots of points to get, my friend Lumen. But yeah, good luck, my friend.
No worries. Take care. Bye.